Amen. Pastor McNair.
Again, welcome this morning, and happy 4th of July to each of you. Happy Independence Day. We are grateful this morning for the freedom that God has given unto us as citizens of the United States. I'm proud to be an American citizen and living in this era of attempting to try to reach a more perfect union. And beyond becoming a more perfect union as a diverse nation, but a more perfect union as we are a part of the body of Christ. So I'm thankful to God for the freedom that we have, more importantly, as believers who are part of His kingdom. In my humble opinion, as I like to say, this 4th of July is a bit of an oxymoron when you consider that we have less freedom to do what we used to do on today than we did 2 years ago. But this day, hallelujah, this day is the Lord day. It's the day that the Lord has made, and we should rejoice, hallelujah, and be glad in it, hallelujah. So today, as we gather in the loving name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we declare, hallelujah, absolute victory to do greater works, because we are in His R&R, hallelujah. We have come to know Him in a very real way, and we have come to experience the liberty of repentance and remission of our sins that comes because of the blood of Jesus Christ. And because of His blood that has been shed for our sins, that we can enjoy in this season our own jubilee and in His R&R, in the repentance and in the remission of our sins. And I believe that the Holy Spirit is moving upon our hearts, upon our minds, in this very moment, to declare, to affirm, to proclaim that where the Spirit of the Lord is, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. So I ask the question, are we free this morning? Are we free this morning? If you have come to know Christ and His freedom, then there should be a praise bubbling up on the inside of you. If you have come to know that the Lord has set you free, and free indeed, you should be in praise mode right now for the liberty that He's given you, that He's given your family, that He has given your children's children. I thank God this morning that despite what is going on all around me, that God has released me from the bondage of slavery, and thank God from the bondage of sin. We should know this, family, this morning. We should know this. We can't live free. We can't walk free. We can't be free until we all receive in our own minds that we are free. Let this spirit, let this brain, let this thought, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. We should this morning be able to take part of that old Negro spiritual. Free at last. Thank God Almighty. We are free at last. And don't get it twisted. We ain't free because of the Declaration of Independence. We are free because of what Christ did on the cross. Hallelujah. So we just thank God for Jesus this morning and what He's already done for us. And I hope that we are ready this morning to receive the gospel of Jesus Christ. Today, I would like to draw your attention to the Gospel of Mark, in particular, chapter 10, verses 17 through 22. Verses 17 through 22. And as you're finding it and going to find it, maybe on your phone, maybe you're old school, you got your Bible in your hand, maybe you're on your iPad. But chapter 10 of St. Mark, verses 17 through 22. And before we read the verses, I believe that it is important that I provide you some context before we get into the selected text, in particular about the author of this gospel, whose name is John Mark. And John Mark is considered by the gospel scholars, the theologians, John Mark is thought to be the author of this book. And his book is the earliest account that we have of the four Gospels. So it's believed that before you have Matthew and Luke and John, you have the earliest writings about the person of Jesus Christ in the book of Mark. And it should be noted that John Mark was not a disciple of Jesus Christ at the time of Christ's earthly ministry. So the historical narrative that John Mark gives us comes from the Apostle Peter. He hung out with Apostle Peter, and John Mark primarily served as the assistant to Apostle Peter, and he also served during the season of their times. He also served as the assistant for Apostle Paul. And it is believed that John Mark was a person who was responsible for making the travel arrangements. He made sure that they had the appropriate food and appropriate lodging. And as he grew in the faith, he also did some teaching along with Peter and Paul. And Peter calls him son. We find that in 1 Peter, the 5th chapter, the 13th verse. And Paul calls him a fellow laborer in Philemon, verse 24. In Colossians chapter 4, verse 10, Paul informs us that Mark is the cousin of Paul's partner in the ministry, who we know as Barnabas. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 11, we read that while Paul was in a Roman prison, that he instructed Timothy, young minister Timothy, to bring Mark with him, for he is useful to me for ministry. So although Mark was not one of Christ's known disciples before the cross, he clearly became a true follower after our Lord's resurrection. And he writes the book that we refer to as Mark, which gives us the eyewitness account from Apostle Peter. Mark's gospel should help us realize the greater works that we can do and the long-lasting impact that we can have for generations to come if we just write and record the presence and the reality of Christ in our own lives. I mean, you know, there is something to be said about, you know, keeping a journal, not just to talk about what's going on with us, to help us to cope with the situations and the circumstances of life, but to literally to have a journal that becomes a praise report about what God is doing through Christ within us and for us. Mark's long-lasting imprint upon the body of Christ comes more from his writing than from his actual life. And it should remind us that only what we do for Christ will last. In his gospel, as Mark gives us an account of Jesus Christ, it should not be lost upon us that Mark betrays the Lord Jesus more by what he does than by what he says. That's important to me this morning, because I love the Lord, not just because he said some words, but I thank God that he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, and his son gave his life. So again, Mark helps me to understand that the Lord Jesus is more than just what he says. It's about what he does for us even now, because he loves us. He loves us. Throughout his book, Mark has a particular focus by often using the word straightway, which basically means immediately. And what he's trying to do, he's trying to show us the immediate, real-time energy and work of Christ. And in chapter 1 of Mark, he writes unto us, verses 9 through 12, "And it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized with John in Jordan. And straightway, coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens open and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. And there came a voice from heaven saying, Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And immediately, that energy, that real-time energy, immediately the Spirit driveth him into the wilderness. It is to be quickened in our spirits this morning that the work of Christ and the word of Christ within us is a quickening power that gives us supernatural energy to overcome the systemic obstacles and the systemic barriers of the devil. We just don't fight against flesh and blood, but we fight against powers and rulers and spiritual wickedness in high places. Paul was already preaching unto us that things are systemic, but it ain't just flesh and blood. It's a spiritual warfare, and the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but almighty through the pulling down of strongholds. As we abide in Christ, he abides in us. We have a blessed assurance this morning that we can ask what we will, and it shall be. And if we would just allow the word of Christ and the work of Christ to flow within us, oh, how much more we would see and know the good news of Jesus Christ, that gospel, the best rap of all time is the good news of Jesus Christ, that it is indeed responsive to the immediate needs of our time. And so it's with that context that I would like for us to read the book of Mark, chapter 10, verses 17 through 22. And beginning with verse 17, it says this, "And when he was going forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, Why call you me good? There is none good but one, that is God. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Defraud not. Honor thy father and mother. And he answered and said unto him, Master, all these have I observed from my youth. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, One thing you lack. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross, and follow me. And he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions." The primary verse that I want us to focus on today is right there in verse 21. And it says, "Then Jesus beholding him, loved him. Jesus, beholding him, loved him. And from that verse, I want to share with you a thought today, and that thought is this. When being loved is not enough. When being loved is not enough. Let us pray. God, we come before you now, decreasing as to who we are and increasing in who you have called us to be in now faith. Father, send your Holy Spirit to descend upon each of us immediately to hear the word that we may perform the work you have assigned for us to do by grace, through faith, in love, and in wisdom. Help us, Holy Ghost, to receive in clarity. And the Lord Jesus, who is true, help us, Holy Ghost, to walk with and in the authority that we have as new creatures in Christ, to move, to live, to think, to act, to work, to overcome, to be healed and made whole, and to be conquered through him that loves us. God, bless this message to remind us of and reconnect us to who we are as the sons and daughters of the Most High God. In the authority of Jesus Christ, we seek your divine and temporal blessing. Amen. Amen. In our text, we see, if you will, the young and the restless coming to Jesus Christ, a man who is young, rich, and a ruler. He possesses the trifecta of having it all at this moment in time, but understand, obviously, that there is something still missing in his life. Something still missing in his life. I don't know if you have ever experienced that, where you've done everything that you thought you could do, but there's still something missing in your life. There's a gap, there's a hole, there's you don't have the fulfillment that you need because there's still something missing in your life. In one word, when we think about the young rich ruler, we can describe him as the epitome of privilege. But because of the shallowness of all that he possessed, this young, rich ruler comes to the Lord Jesus running and kneels before him. The young man has a question for Jesus. It's a question that is profound. It is a well-placed question. As in my professional line of work as a lawyer, I appreciate the well-placed questions. And I believe that it was a question that was motivated by good intentions, and the question was, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? The young man obviously understood that there was something else beyond this life. He had been taught well that there was another life to come. And you know, as we consider the events that are going on in our country and in our community, the numerous acts of crime that is committed in the United States, the horrific homicides and suicides taking place all over our country, and too many times at the hands of our young people. It is disheartening to consider that many of our young people don't even seem to care about life, much less eternal life. It's disheartening to consider that many of our young people are growing up in homes and communities that does not emphasize or embrace the gospel such that they don't even have clear vision that there is another reality, another existence beyond this earthly realm. And they're not even asking this question. Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? thank God for Jesus, for every person under the sound of my voice. God is calling out unto us and to go to our own families and in our own communities and continue to proclaim the gospel, especially to our young people, that Christ has come to not just give us life, but to give us life more abundantly for every family that is represented in this place. God is calling us to declare and reclaim our young people and remind them of their rightful place in the kingdom of God as a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and a special people. Our young people are not throwaways, but created to do even greater works in 2021 and beyond, because Christ has returned to our Heavenly Father. Here in our text today, although the young rich ruler by his upbringing had conflated religion with true relationship, at least he had a foundation of godly principles taught to him by his parents. Oh, and at least what they taught him created a consciousness of his moral obligations. And it's so unfortunate that so many parents who are educated but not illuminated, they have abandoned the gospel. They have abandoned the Father. They have abandoned Jesus Christ and have sown no seed of righteousness to awaken the consciousness of Christ within their minds or in the minds of their children or in the minds of their children. Children, family, if it don't start, it won't end right. If it doesn't start with Christ, it won't end in love. It won't end in faith. It won't end in hope. It won't end in the blessed existence that God has intended for us in this life. And family, we have to continue to speak and to preach and to teach and to praise and proclaim the gospel along with sound doctrine to nurture up our young people in the admonition of the Lord and in the independence and power, hallelujah, of his might. In our text, the young rich ruler is reminded by the Lord Jesus of his obligations to the Ten Commandments, his moral obligations. But the young rich ruler, he responds to him like this. He says, "Teacher, all these things I have kept from my youth." His response basically is the one that too often many in the church have today. Teacher, Lord Jesus, the good shepherd, I've been religious all of my life. I've been to church all of my life. I've been in the choir. I've been on the deacon's board. I've been on the usher board. I've been on the mother's board. I've been in the ministry for a long time. But I can hear the Lord Jesus saying to us who are just religious and not in relationship that one thing you lack. I know you've been religious. I know you have followed the traditions of men and the doctrines of the church. I know you have done all that you could do to play the part and to look the part of a church member. But one thing you lack. You have a form of godliness, a form of churchiness, a form of by faithness, a form of AME-ness, a form of primitive missionary Baptist. You have a form of godliness, but you are denying the power thereof because you have not allowed my word and my work to fully operate in your life as a new creature in Jesus Christ. To the body of Christ, and I hope you're hearing this with me this morning, that faith is not a magic. Faith is not some mystical incantation. Faith is not calling on the name of Jesus over and over and over and over again with your lips, but your heart is still far from him. Faith is more than religious observance. Are you hearing this with me, family? True faith, hallelujah. Now faith, real-time faith, is activated in each and every believer to draw closer and closer and closer to God. True faith is measured by the depth of our intimate union to God in Christ. It's not just some external behavioral modification to a religious code. It speaks to the relationship that we have with the Father through the Son. As Christ was speaking to the young rich ruler and reminding him of his moral obligations pursuant to the Ten Commandments, Jesus is focusing the young rich ruler's attention upon the fact that the commandments hang on two foundational pillars. First, to love God with all of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. And the second is to love your neighbor like you love yourself. So when Jesus tells him to go his way, to sell all that he has and to give the money to the poor, he forces the young rich ruler to see that Jehovah was not his God. He forced the evangelical, the young rich ruler, to see the red elephant, hallelujah, in the room, that his God was mammon. His God was prosperity. His God was money. His God was his wealth. His God was what he owned and not who owned him. Jesus is showing that this young rich ruler, like so many of us in the church, are suffering from covetousness. We are suffering from rootism because the love of money is the root of all evil. So Jesus is expanding the consciousness of the young rich ruler. And he says unto him, one thing you lack. Go thy way. Sell whatsoever you have and give to the poor. And thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross and follow me. Dear brothers and sisters, the Lord Jesus would not have us ignorant. And he is not calling us to sell all that we have. That's not what the scripture is about. The scripture is not universal, and it's not a commandment to all who want to know Christ to give up everything that they have. That's not where I'm coming from this morning. And that's not rightly divided word of truth. However, it does bring into focus this. What are we so attached to? Who are we so attached to that we fail to give it up to show God how much we really love him? The truth is speaking to us this morning that no man, no woman can serve two masters. If I could paraphrase, oh foolish Christian, who and what has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth to know that the path to salvation is more than what we do or don't do? The path to salvation is about who we love more. Who we love more. As I close, in verse 22, it is recorded for our benefit and guidance that the young rich ruler was sad at the saying of Jesus Christ. He was sad at the word coming forth. He was sad that the word of Christ came in a way that said that you had to release everything in order to show that you love me more than anything. Although verse 21 says that Jesus, looking at him, loved him. Love was simply not enough. So the young rich ruler left away bitter and not better because he loved his stuff. He loved his life. He loved his privilege. He loved his status. He loved his power more than he loved the Father. My brothers and sisters, the truth, who we know is in the Lord Jesus, is sharing with us this morning that his love is simply not enough for us to gain eternal life. There's responsibility and accountability on our part to do something too. So if we are seeking eternal life, we must love him back. Not because we have to, but because we want to. If we are seeking abundant life, we must yield to him. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. So if we are to keep his commandments, and if we are truly seeking salvation, we must confess him with our mouths that he is the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God has raised him from the dead. No man, no woman can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. And no man and no woman can come to the Father but by him, as we recognize and confess him by grace and through faith. It is in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, the word proclaims unto us that without faith, it is impossible to please him. For they that come to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Are we diligently seeking him to the point that we can just let go and let God? Being confident this morning, being confident this very thing, that by the power of God's Holy Spirit, we are letting go right now. We are letting go of the stuff that can so easily beset us. We are letting go every weight and sin that can easily beset us. We are letting go of the stuff this morning. And I pray and proclaim that he, which have begun a good work in us, will continue to perform it and perfect it until the day of Jesus Christ. Amen. And so be it.